Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis, Tennessee, that is going to be bringing Mark Dankos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South in the days ahead. So greetings to the people of WMQM AM 1600 of Memphis. At the same time that we want to introduce a very special man today, Commander Dave Lewis. Dave was the research officer on the USS Liberty in June of 1967. I have wanted to talk to him about his experiences both then and now in regard to what happened 40 years ago, especially after talking to Gary Brummett for 2 hours on this show on Friday and learning all kinds of things, both about what happened on June the 8th, 1967, as well as what didn't happen in regard to any degree of accountability being insisted upon by the U.S. government when it came to what Israel did at that time and what they continue to do in all the years that have followed in regard to trying to ensure that there is continued obfuscation on this whole question of what did happen to the USS Liberty. Dave, how are you, sir?
Just fine, hey, Gary, just fine. Beautiful day up here.
Well, yes, I understand that you're in Vermont. I have been all over the United States because my dad was an Air Force colonel, but I never made it to Vermont. I've heard nothing but good about it in terms of the beauty and the weather up there. So I trust that if we don't all perish in an apocalyptic war here in the next couple of years, that maybe I will make it up that way. Dave, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to take our first commercial break, but I wanted to get back to Eric Margolis's piece on the USS Liberty entitled The America's Most Shameful Secret. Eric Margolis, of course, is a writer for the Toronto Sun. This particular article was written in May of 2001 and is currently to be found at lewrockwell.com. I made reference to this article a number of times in Gary Brummett's appearance on Wednesday. And just to update our listeners, the USS Liberty was attacked by Israel on June the 8th, 1967, on the fourth day of the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. And Margolis sets the stage for us that the Liberty at the time was 14 miles off the Sinai Peninsula. Israeli armored forces were racing deep into Sinai in hot pursuit of the retreating Egyptian army. Margolis then goes on, of course, to discuss some of the specifics about the Liberty in regard to its role as an intelligence vessel that had been packed with the latest signals and electronic interception equipment by the National Security Agency, the NSA, and that this attack took place first from the air and subsequently a torpedo attack after a very significant series of Israeli recon flights that morning that began at 8 a.m. The aerial attacks began at 2 p.m., there was subsequently a torpedo attack at 2:24 p.m., and then at 2:31 p.m., there were, I believe, 34 people killed, 171 wounded, and there's just an awful lot of information out there that suggests that this whole thing was deliberate. That's certainly what Gary Brummett believes, certainly what Eric Margolis believes, and what Admiral Moore believed. Is that pretty much your take on this whole thing, too, Dave?
If that attack was an accident, it was the best planned accident in the history of the Earth.
Yes, that's definitely my reading of the whole thing as we begin to see all of the data that's coming in on this from all of these excellent sources. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Commander Dave Lewis, who was the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're continuing today to discuss this whole question of the USS Liberty. We had Gary Brummett on the show on Wednesday, on Friday. Today we have Commander Dave Lewis, who hails now from Vermont. He was the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Dave, chronicle for us, if you as you will, what your own personal experience was that day. What happened to you?
Well, maybe it'd be better if I backed up and gave you a little on the organization and where I fit into it first.
Absolutely. Perfect. Go ahead.
On the ship, there was a complement of 295 personnel. Of that 295, 195 worked for me, and the other 100 were ship drivers. My GQ station was in my office, so I missed everything topside, and thanks be to God, I have total insomnia from the time I heard the skipper say stand by for a torpedo attack starboard side until I regained consciousness, so I missed all the gore. But I can talk to you about quite a bit about the politics of the thing.
Absolutely. And in terms of the politics of the thing, let's unpack that a little bit. I suppose that that is as nefarious as dealing with the combat experiences of some of the men who were topside that day, in that it gives us the larger context that enables us, the listeners, to just begin to perceive just how traumatic an event this had to be in your lives. What about the political dimensions of this? Go ahead.
Well, for starters, if it was an accident, they had the most talented pilots on the face of the earth. They took, in the first strafing run, the Israelis took out all of our HF communications, and they took out the moon relay. Did Gary talk about the moon relay?
Yeah, yes, we brought a little bit of that up because Eric Margolis made reference to it, yes.
At the 18-foot diameter dish on the top of a horse carrier, the El Cusair?
Yes. Yes, the Egyptian vessel that the Israelis claimed they thought they were attacking.
Yeah. But they were able to take out all of our communications. They deny it, but I think they must have had heat-seeking missiles in the attack because it was the tuning section of each HF antenna. An HF antenna is simply a whip stuck up in the air with a huge coil at the base of it to tune it, and that coil generates a lot of heat. So if someone knows that they want to take out an HF antenna, they go for the coil, and that's what was taken out. So my crazy radioman, while they were being shot at, climbed the masts of the ship and strung a long wire, and we got an SOS out. I'm sure that SOS was intercepted by the Israelis also, and that's the reason the attack was called off. Everything that I've seen leads me to believe that it was the intent to sink the Liberty and kill all survivors. And the next day, when debris washed ashore, it would be blamed on the Arabs.
Well, that was, after I talked to Gary Brummett on Friday, I happened to be chatting on the telephone just briefly with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, who's very interested in this USS Liberty business. And Mark also writes for the American Free Press. And that was pretty much the conclusion that he drew and one that I have now drawn. And that is that the Israelis obviously knew what they were doing. The entire character of the whole situation indicates that. The very extensive surveillance that they undertook before launching first the aerial attack and then later the torpedo attack suggests this. And then, when you look at the skill of their pilots and all of the national technical means that were available to them, to determine exactly who and what it was they were shooting at proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, in my judgment, that they knew exactly what they were doing. And to me, as you start to search for motive, it seems to me that the very thing you've identified is the one and only explanation, that they were hopeful that they would sink the vessel to put you guys out of business in terms of being able to provide electronic data that might undercut the Israeli version of what was happening during the six-day war. That would be the one motive that comes to mind to me. And then the other is in potentially destroying the USS Liberty. If it had been sunk and if all 297 people had been killed, this would have been a great false flag incident to pin on Egypt.
We did have aircraft flying over Egypt before they were recalled. That's been released.
Yes.
I was talking to a Dr. Wells, and he is of the opinion that Lyndon Johnson was a hero rather than a villain because he knew that the Russians were ready to launch nuclear weapons, and he recalled everything rather than take a chance on recalling the wrong aircraft.
What's your opinion of that perspective?
Well, we do know that the Admiral Shashkov is skipper of a Soviet submarine that wasn't far from us, had been given orders to launch as soon as the first U.S. bombs dropped on Egypt. And he went into great detail. He said he had only surface-to-surface missiles, which required high reflectivity. So he had to find something in Israel that had a high reflectivity, and he targeted the Dome of the Rock. So the first bombs that dropped on Egypt would have eliminated Israel. And the Russians had launched paratroopers into Iran and Syria. They were ready. I don't know. They've got as good an intelligence network as we have. They apparently knew what was going on, and they were prepared to retaliate.
Well, Dave, I mean, Gary Brummett made mention, Dave, of the fact on Friday. He didn't go into as much detail on this as you have right here at this particular juncture. But Gary did mention that the in any discussion of the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, that the American public has absolutely no idea of how close we were in 1967 to a full-blown nuclear exchange over the Six-Day War.
We were far closer with the Liberty episode than they ever did in Cuba. They were days off. We were minutes off.
Yes, and so in the take of this particular person that you were talking to, Johnson's apparent decision to have these American fighter aircraft recalled to the Saratoga and the USS America, as opposed to being used to protect the USS Liberty, was a decision that he reached in order to avoid what would have started an inevitable snowball rolling down a hill headed toward a full-blown nuclear exchange.
That's the take of Dr. Wells. I still think that Johnson could have done something to help us.
Well, you know, the other angle on this, which, of course, and Dr. Wells presumably would know more about this than I, but, you know, it's come to my attention through Michael Collins Piper, who is a host on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and, of course, he writes for the American Free Press. He has written a most fascinating and admittedly controversial book entitled Final Judgment, dealing with what Michael sees as the Israeli angle on the Kennedy assassination. And without trying to unpack all of that in this show, Piper nonetheless notes that with the end of the Kennedy administration and the beginning of the Johnson administration, that there was an absolute sea change in American foreign policy in a decidedly more pro-Israel direction than had been the case before. And Piper brings a lot of data into the mix in terms of supporting that point of view. It seems to me that one alternative to Dr. Wells' view, which may be correct, I'm in no position to contradict it, but an alternative suspicion may well be that Lyndon Johnson was simply in so tight with the government of Israel and with the Israeli lobby that he did not want to incur the wrath of some of his chief friends and benefactors. That's a suspicion that I might harbor on this.
That would certainly reflect it in his comment to Admiral Geis. Would you like me to go into my conversations with the Admiral at this
Absolutely,
time?
Particularly since Gary Brummett indicated on Friday that Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer of the USS Liberty, had some very critical conversations with Admiral Geis that would be absolutely central to trying to piece any of this together. So I think we've arrived at a most key juncture in this show, Dave, in regard to what you and the Admiral discussed. Go ahead.
Well, I was medevac to the Liberty with the torpedo attack. My eyes had been seared shut by the blast, and I found out later that he had given orders as soon as I could see, as soon as he'd opened my eyes up, he wanted me in his cabin. So as soon as they lanced my eyes, the corpsman took me to his cabin, and he sent me down, and he swore me to secrecy, and he said he wanted somebody to know what had happened because he was positive it would be covered up.
Dave, we're going to a commercial break. Hold your thought right there, and we'll take up immediately with that thought when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer of the USS Liberty, on June the 8th, 1967. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders' political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Commander Dave Lewis. He was the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Dave is filling in some of the blanks from Gary Brummett's very fine appearance on the show on Friday, talking about the USS Liberty as a survivor. Gary Brummett indicated at that time that it would be very key to get Commander Dave Lewis's take on Dave's conversations with Admiral Geis. We are just starting to unpack that now. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Mark. After Admiral Geis sent me down, swore me to secrecy, he said he wanted somebody to know that he had tried before he was ordered not to, and he knew it would be covered up. He said that he had launched aircraft to come to our assistance and had notified Washington. Judge Crystal says that couldn't happen because we don't have secure communications. But in the time of war, you use plain language communications, and that's how they communicated. And he said that immediately after the planes were launched, Robert McNamara came on the telephone and ordered them recalled. The Audubon system, the government system at that time.
Now, these planes have been launched from both the Saratoga and the USS America?
And the America, yeah.
Okay.
And McNamara ordered them recalled. Being a good subordinate, he did what he was told. He said that he thought that somebody had assumed that nuclear weapons, for some reason, had been launched against orders, and that was the reason they were being recalled. He said that he was used to idiots in Washington, so he reconfigured a flight with aircraft that were incapable of carrying nuclear weapons. And he relaunched to come to our assistance. And again, he notified Washington. And again, McNamara came on the line and said he'd ordered the flights to the Liberty recalled. Admiral Guy said he challenged the order, and Lyndon Johnson came on the phone and said he didn't give a damn if the ship sunk and everyone was killed. He would not embarrass his allies. Now, that was, 2.5, 3 hours before he said he was officially notified that Israel had done the attacking.
Yes, and he certainly at that point had not been notified by anyone from the Liberty that this had happened. So,
no.
Yes.
But... again, people say it's impossible to do that in such a short time frame. But we hark back to Eisenhower's presidency. He found out 2 or 3 days after the fact about some critical intelligence. And he put the order out to the Defense Department, this will not happen again. And they instituted what it's called the Criticom Network. Anything that's of critical intelligence, you simply type in the word critic, C-R-I-T-I-C, on the top, and it closes all switches to the White House. It goes no place except to the White House. The Air Force especially had been very remiss in using high-precedence communications for social affairs and such. They certainly wouldn't want to use critic because that would go to the White House, and that's what this one did.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had the security group detachments on both the Saratoga and the America and the Northampton, and as soon as that SOS was received, they were required to submit a critic. I don't have access to those, but I'm sure they exist. And that's how Washington was notified instantly. And that's how McNamara came back on the line and recalled them almost instantly.
Do you feel that Admiral Geist discussed this with you simply so that there would be some independent corroboration that would survive, that this is exactly what happened, and so that he, it would be chronicled by some responsible person, and in this case you were the research officer, that Admiral Geist had taken these actions, and that to the extent that those orders had been countermanded, that there would be some corroborative proof that he had done his job, and that others above him in Washington, presumably McNamara and presumably Johnson, were the parties to the recall of those fighters?
Exactly. Again, Judge Crystal in his book says that there was no way that anyone could talk, but there was a communications technician in Port Lyodi, Morocco, who patched Robert McNamara through to the USS America for the first call. And he said for the second call, when the president himself came on the line, he dropped off. He was scared. But there's corroborative evidence of my statements, too. And Admiral Geiser's granddaughter just last month, I guess it was a month before, said that often in her conversations with her grandfather, he commented on how he wished he could tell the whole truth.
Yes, and this gets into a dimension of this that we will come to after this commercial break. The emotional aftermath of this terrible thing for those who survived and who carry the burdens of the last 40 years. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Commander Dave Lewis. Dave was the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. And as Gary Brummett indicated to us on Friday, Dave's conversations with Admiral Geis in regard to the Admiral's actions and in regard to the actions of Robert McNamara and Lyndon Johnson that day are absolutely a pivotal piece in the puzzle in trying to reconstruct what did happen that day as we presently can figure that out and as we continue to try and figure out the larger implications of that entire monstrous day. Dave, before we get into some of the personal and emotional dimensions of this in terms of what you've had to live with for 40 years. A couple of items of clarification. What was Admiral Geis's exact job title? And then this fellow Judge Crystal that you mentioned, I wanted to unpack him a little bit too.
Rear Admiral Lawrence Geis was the carrier division of Carrier Division 8. That was the Saratoga and the USS America. Admiral Martin was Comsec Fleet. He was in charge of the whole fleet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned this Judge Crystal in some of his comments.
Jay Crystal, federal bankruptcy lawyer in Florida, said that he was putting out the book to end all speculation and prove that it was an accident. And I've been tempted to sue Judge Crystal for libel, all the things that he told about me when refusing to speak to me.
Well, one presumes, I mean, I don't know Jay Crystal, but it sounds, first of all, like he might be Jewish. That would be the implication of his last name, one presumes.
Yes.
The second thing that would come to my mind is, what does a federal bankruptcy judge in Florida know about what did or did not happen on a USS naval intelligence vessel in the middle of the Six-Day War in comparison to people who were who were there and who were a part of the command and control chain of events that transpired in that day? That sounds crazy to me.
He made 13 trips to Israel. That's what made him an expert. And he says you shouldn't trust witnesses because they're emotional.
Boy, I tell you, that's pretty.
That's our judges.
Yeah, unless you're a judge in a federal bankruptcy court case, presumably, then you can trust such a person. But this is again absolutely incredible to me. I mean, the judge's potential motives in this certainly bear examination. And again, the notion that he knows more about this situation than people who were actually a part of the whole thing that day in terms of the chain of command is preposterous in my view. But suffice it to say that the Crystal angle on this does raise an interesting issue. Why would a federal bankruptcy judge in Florida be that interested to attempt to prove, quote-unquote, that it was an accident and that Israel had no culpability at all that day in terms of a deliberate premeditated attack? For a guy to make 13 trips to Israel to attempt to disprove your story and Gary Brummett's story and the story of James Ennis and some of the other survivors suggests that he not only had a personal axe to grind, but potentially he might have been involved in a pretty chummy relationship with some people in Tel Aviv who are a part of the Israeli military and intelligence establishment. I think that that's a connection that would bear closer examination. Did Crystal ever talk about who he met with on these trips?
Oh, he gives lists of all of them. But that's something I would love to see investigated. I wonder how much of a U.S. government money was expended in his research.
Yeah, this would make for a very, very interesting investigative journalism project. I ought to turn this thing over to Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn at the American Free Press. I think this whole business of Judge Jay Crystal in Florida would make for a very, very interesting take on a pipeline that seems to go back to Tel Aviv and to Jerusalem.
Most definitely. And I find it hard to believe that on his naval pay, he made 13 trips, all expenses paid out of his own pocket.
Well, yes, and again, that would really be interesting in terms of looking at this more closely. I wonder if he has any blood ties to Irving Crystal of the Wall Street Journal and to William Crystal, Irving Crystal's son, who, of course, among other things, has been the editor of the Weekly Standard and a commentator for Fox News. That would be a fascinating take, too.
The only difference, they spell their name with a K, and he spells his name with a C.
Aha. That's helpful for me, because in terms of making sure I have the correct spelling on his name, I'm going to suggest to Piper and to Mark Glenn that this would make for some interesting journalism on their part to start tapping into this a little bit more, since I know that both of them have inherent interest in this story. But you were mentioning that as far as this Jewish judge is concerned, that he specifically has said some very harsh and critical things of you specifically. What has he said in some of his so-called research?
Well, he's told a lot of lies about me. One thing he said that I told Captain McGonagall that if we moved 5 more miles offshore, our intercept capability would be degraded by 80%. Well, I said nothing of the sort. Captain McGonagall asked me if it would degrade our capability if he moved further out. I said, yes, it would. He didn't ask me for any more specifics. I said, told him it wouldn't put us out of business. He said, well, if it'll degrade your capability, we'll stay where we've been ordered to stay. It's that sort of thing. He picks at little things. Jay Kristol is an expert at taking trivia that is meaningless and turning it into major intelligence.
And this is from a guy who probably knows about as much about naval intelligence as I do, maybe even less.
I'm afraid he knows much less.
Well, but again, I think it's instructive, again, to look at this in terms of the political angle. You know, you get into a situation, I know Michael Collins Piper undoubtedly would have a lot of stories to tell about things that he has experienced in his journalism career, especially after he wrote the book Final Judgment, which gets into the Israeli angle on the Kennedy assassination. And I found it incredible at the time that I was reading Piper's book that Mordecai Vanunu, the internationally known Israeli political dissident who spent, as I remember this now, I think 18 years in an Israeli prison for revealing the details of the Israel nuclear program at Dimona, that Vanunu provided independent corroboration of the thesis of Piper's book. And yet, of course, Piper was pilloried in many places in the establishment press as some sort of a subversive, as some sort of a crackpot for coming up with such a preposterous thesis in regard to what happened to JFK. But frankly, after reading Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy, and having read 8 or 10 other books on the subject that are considered to be responsible literature in the so-called conspiracy angle on the Kennedy death, I read Piper's book, found it to be very, very convincing, and said so in a news review, a book review that was printed in a number of places in the World Wide Web about the whole thing. But to me, in examining this kind of thing, whether it relates to Piper or to what was done to you through Judge Kristol, that once again it seems that unseen hands that whose identity we might suspect have had a very, very critical interest in ensuring that anyone who has questioned the official story on what Israel does when it relates to anything subsequently finds themselves being on the receiving end of something in the way of formal or informal retaliation. It happened to Paul Findlay, the Republican congressman from former congressman from Illinois. I imagine that Pete McCloskey could tell some tales about this sort of thing. And it's clearly happened to a number of people now, including yourself. Is this sort of thing continuing for you, and has it been directed against any of the other liberty survivors?
You're immediately accused of being anti-Semitic in an attempt to shut you up if you discuss politics in Israel.
Yes.
That's their big weapon.
Yes, and that has been, up to this point, a very, very powerful tool that obviously the Israeli lobby has used repeatedly. Jimmy Carter, who admittedly is not one of my favorite people or one of my favorite presidents.
He wasn't mine until I read his book.
What's that?
Yeah, well, wasn't mine until I read his book.
Well, to be honest with you, I've not read President Carter's book yet, but I've read the reviews of it. And I suspect that I have a whole new regard for Jimmy Carter in regard to having said some of the things that he says on this Palestinian subject. And to think that this so-called anti-Semitic angle would be used against Jimmy Carter is just the latest outrage, it seems to me, in a series of things that have happened that have been directed against other people, including yourself, And James Ennis, who was apparently your officer on deck in the USS Liberty at the time of the attack, wrote a piece that I came across on the Internet from June of 1993, published by the Washington Report for Middle Eastern Affairs, and it's entitled The Assault on the USS Liberty, Still Covered Up After 26 Years, June 1993. And Lieutenant Ennis makes the statement that in terms of the Prodigy Israel forums that have had a lot of debate on them about what did or didn't happen with the USS Liberty in June of 1967. This is apparently a Prodigy interactive computer service run by Sears and IBM, at least at the time. Ennis makes a careful note of the fact that those who in this forum have been constructively critical of Israeli policies are, among other things, quote, guilty of attacks on the Jewish homeland, unquote. They are disciples of hate, quote, unquote. They are, quote, pathological haters of Israel and all things Jewish, unquote. And then Lieutenant Commander Ennis goes on to say that Prodigy allows Israel's critics, however, to be called sodomists and derriere bussing anti-Semites. The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, which I go on record as saying is a very responsible publication, is described by these same types of people as a hate rag, and it just kind of goes on from there. So I think it's important that we contextualize this whole business of Judge Jay Crystal as it relates to you, Dave, and potentially to other people as a circumstance where we might see on a prima facie basis what the motives may have been for such things, where we might see on a prima facie basis what Judge Crystal's connections might be to a much larger picture involving people in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And then it's a part of an even larger pattern that has involved attacks against other Americans from Charles Lindbergh onward, up to and including now Jimmy Carter. And if anyone can believe that Jimmy Carter is a racist or a bigot or an anti-Semite, they really belong in a rubber room somewhere, it seems to me.
Well, the first half of his book is nothing but praise for Israel, for the existence of Israel, for the need for Israel to exist and everything. And then the last third of his book, he goes into the Zionism and what has happened as a result of it. And I would think that the Israelis would not condemn it so readily. It certainly goes for their existence and for their need and all.
And for them to attack the President of the United States, the 39th President of the United States, in this fashion, knowing what we know about Jimmy Carter, and now, of course, as you contextualize for us, having read the book, what the first half of the book is comprised of, it to me is revelatory in regard to a level of desperation on the part of the Israeli lobby that at some point might well backfire, because I remember reading these initial reports and what some of these people were saying about Carter in the media, and I just thought to myself, oh, come on. I mean, whatever Carter has said that I'm aware of, whatever I think of Carter, pro or con, the notion that this man is a bigot or an anti-Semite is totally preposterous. And for those kinds of things to be said about Jimmy Carter, it seems to me, are indicative of a wider demonic methodology that has been used by the Israeli lobby from time to time. And as we look at the demonization of Carter that has occurred in the wake of the release of this book, I think would be instructive to put that book alongside the texts of some of the recent speeches that have been made by Republican and Democratic presidential contenders alike before various arms of the Israeli lobby. I'm thinking of the American Israel Public Political Action Committee, APAC, being the most obvious. And then there was apparently a conference in Herzliya outside of Tel Aviv not too long ago where Hillary Clinton and John Edwards and John McCain and I believe Giuliani, among others, made their pilgrimages to this location. And when I read the texts of these various speeches among the announced major announced presidential contenders in both of the major parties, it seemed that they were tripping over each other to position themselves as the most pro-Israeli candidate in the race, which to me is suggestive of, again, of the amount of influence these people have.
Well, in the past election, John McCain came up to my hometown twice to campaign, well, to Dixville Knott's, the Balsams. And twice I spoke to him. The first time I asked him if he would investigate the Liberty, and he said if you had new information, he would. I got a couple of three reams of new information. Next time he came up, I handed it to him. He said he'd look into it. I said, are you willing to challenge AIPAC? And he turned on his heel and left.
Yes, which...
End of conversation.
Yes, and, you know, in light of your conversations with him, Commander, it should be mentioned by me on the air that General Wes Clark recently got into some hot water with the Republican-Jewish Coalition and subsequently with AIPAC and the Anti-Defamation League, all the usual suspects, for pointing out that New York money men, Jewish New York money men, were very much involved in the push of American policy toward a wider war in the Middle East with Iran. And Wes Clark made those statements in the light of the recent travels of John McCain and Rudy Giuliani in the Republican Party to have face-to-face sessions with these New York Jewish money men. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll take a caller when I return. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Commander Dave Lewis. He was the research officer for the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Especially important for the listeners is to hone in on what Gary Brummett told us Friday, and that is that the conversation between Admiral Geis and Commander Dave Lewis is absolutely pivotal, the conversations they had that day, June the 8th, 1967, in terms of establishing what Admiral Geis did in regard to scrambling fighters from the USS Saratoga and the USS America to come to the aid of the USS Liberty, and what Admiral Geis knew of the subsequent stand-down order for those fighters that was issued by Robert McNamara, presumably at the behest of the President of the United States. I believe Commander Dave Lewis, implicitly in regard to his memory as well as to his integrity in regard to what he and Admiral Geis discussed, is just one more piece of the puzzle that brings us to a completely different place in regard to what we perceive about this event today from what the so-called official investigation revealed. And at a later point on this show, in the last hour of the show, I want to talk to Commander Dave Lewis a little bit about some of the things related to that so-called official investigation that have been mentioned by James Ennis in his 1993 piece for the Washington Report on Middle Eastern Affairs. Before we get to that, we have a caller, Jim in Texas. You're on the line for Dave Lewis. Go ahead, Jim. You still there?
Hello. I'd like you to get in a little more on wasn't John McCain's father in the hierarchy of the Sixth Fleet? He was an admiral, I believe, somewhere.
John McCain's father, Admiral McCain, was the officer who ordered the court of inquiry. He also ordered them not to investigate Israel, and he ordered the court of inquiry to be completed in 1 week's time.
And you actually had faith that McCain would investigate what his father did?
Well, he said he would. I asked him. Well, I was skeptical. Yes, I know.
I'm very familiar with the whole story, and I've seen the movie Dead in the Water. I imagine you know about that one.
Yes.
And I believe McNamara is on there stating on camera that he don't remember anything about the Liberty. Nothing.
Oh, of course. He's forgotten everything.
And I believe everything he says.
But this is coming from a guy with a photographic memory on everything else imaginable. But go ahead.
Anyway, I'd like to get a little more on the top brass in the Sixth Fleet and probably naval operations, and the fact that these gentlemen at that time had no honor. They lost any honor they might have ever had when they allowed this to happen and acquiesced to illegal orders, because that's an unlawful order for McCain's father to tell somebody, I want you to conduct a border inquiry, and here's the evidence you'll hear, and here's the conclusion you'll come to. That's not a border inquiry. That's nothing.
It wasn't. And to this day, I have never been asked to testify to anyone. And I was in charge of the entire Naval Security Group on board the ship.
Wasn't it Admiral Isaac Kidd or something like that that conducted it?
Admiral Isaac Kidd was under orders from McCain to do as McCain told him to.
But he didn't have to. He didn't have to.
Well, Jim, stay on the line. I need to go to a commercial break, but I want you guys to resume this conversation with each other when we come back. I think it's very important. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Jim, our caller from Texas, and also with Commander Dave Lewis, the research officer for the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
You got hit.